are listening to Let's Go JoJo, the weekly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure podcast from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. On today's show, we have Niall Flanagan.
Guten Tag.
Anthony Askew.
Yes, 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 yes.
Dwayne Maloney.
No, 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 no.
No, you are here, Dwayne. I can tell from your voice.
You're just reading it wrong, man.
And me, Brian Smith. This week's episode, The Miasma of the Void, Vanilla Ice, Part 1. But first, it's the week in JoJo's news. The big bit of JoJo's news this week is Season 1 is out in America July 28th, according to Amazon, for the price of $49.98 on DVD.
So that's like the first part of...
Yes.
Yeah, this run. Okay.
Is that good value? I can't quite tell. I forget how many episodes...
It's only about, eight or nine.
There's very little information about it, so we don't know whether.
Exactly. When you said part one, I thought it was like the first 20 or whatever so episodes that was, which wouldn't be as bad, I guess.
I don't know. It's one of those bare bones Amazon entries, so it may not be even coming out on that date.
Right.
So it's first season and they're kind of all around together in one go, so might be the whole thing.
Could be the whole thing. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. Would you buy it or would you hold out for a Blu-ray or hold out for a...
Holding out for Blu-rays these days.
If it was Phantom Blood and Battle of the Sea together, then I would consider springing for that. But if it's only Phantom Blood...
I think I'd also want to know whether they were the remastered versions from the Japanese release or the TV
version. It's going to be just like blacked out everywhere, yeah.
I think if you want to pay for the gore, right? I mean, that's important.
Exactly. I want to see a dog in a furnace. No, I pay for the dog in a furnace. I want to see a dog in a furnace.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wonder how it's going to make its way through the BBFC if it comes out of the UK. We shall wait and see. The remainder is barely JoJo's news. First up, there was a web questionnaire in April by My Navi Woman site, and they were asking women aged 22 to 34, and there was 144 responses. It was a web survey. What comics do you read in secret? And one of those was JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Was it a popular one that they did, or?
It was one which got a comment on it. It was, I can't remember. The article was less interesting than the title made it sound.
I thought, it was a comic you were ashamed to read.
Yeah,
reading in public. I work for PETA and I read Joy's Bizarre Adventure quite compulsively, even though the content would seem otherwise.
Yeah, the other ones I remember, the Bastard was in there.
That's obvious because you can't see me that in the train. Words for kids. Everyone saying, "Hey, Mammy, what does that word say? Bastard." Oh, Jimmy, what are you saying? Oh, you awful man, what are you doing reading this terrible comic? Teach my young child awful words.
Fist of the North Star, Gagamanga Biori.
Oh, God.
Yu-Gi-Oh, that was another one.
Ooh, shame on you.
I mean, none of those are, straight-up porn, so I think they're probably okay for the most part.
The Bastard one was listed under being... You reading the secrets, it's perverted. There was the... Was it Futari Echi? I think that was one listed as well. That's the sex ed comic, if I remember.
The Yu-Gi-Oh one.
Yeah, why is that on?
Because they're adult women.
But everybody likes Yugi.
Well, that one was listed under comics everybody likes.
See?
So it's a shame to read because, normally someone who buys it a man because they might get the free rare card at the back, but nobody actually reads it and you actually do read it.
And finally, for me, the most tenuous bit of news I've had come in through Google Alerts.
Ever.
There was an article about mortgage refinancing, which had included a quote from Jean-Pierre Polnareff in the opening paragraph, presumably for search engine optimization purposes.
So what does he have to say about insurance?
It was through Google Translate. I couldn't tell what he was talking about beyond the fact that it was a quote from Jean-Pierre Polnareff.
Oh, man, he used to be cool. He sold out.
Have you seen a mortgage broker who has two left hands?
That's what he said.
Don't trust him.
Anyone else got any JoJo's news?
Nah, the only thing I saw was this Eyes of Heaven gameplay video, which I was showing off some of the tag team mechanics of it. highlighting a lot of things, but it's all in Japanese, so I don't know what the hell their functionality
is. I think it was a video trying to explain what improvements they'd made on All-Star
Battle.
Right,
right.
Yeah.
So what upgrades they've done, right.
I don't know. It looks pretty nifty, but, you know, kind of the same as the last game, really. Which still looks pretty nifty, I suppose.
Hmm.
Okay, right, on to this week's episode, The Miasma of the Void, Vanilla Ice Part 1, which probably should have been
cool
called...
Ice.
Probably be, should have been called Part 0.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we don't get much of that. It's mainly still with Terence T. D'Arby, as we discover how his stand works this episode. He can basically read, or basically ask somebody's soul either or questions.
Yeah, a binary question, where it's A or B, sure.
So mainly yes or no, but he does some other ones as well. So that's how he's going to be able to tell that Jotaro was going to, whether he's telling the truth or not about his pitch. But turns out, while he's getting yes, yes, yes from Jotaro, he lied. He pitched the opposite way. And then Terence starts freaking out.
He's getting older.
Yeah, so Jotaro manages to get him out as a batter. And he knows he's cheating because he's asked his soul, asked Jotaro's soul, are you cheating?
Yes, 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 yes.
I did like him freaking out and going over, is it in your hat? Where is it? I want to see how you're cheating.
Yeah, he's absolutely convinced his hat was involved, just like I was last week.
That was the thing. It's a magician, oh, it's sleight of hand. You're looking at the left, you should be looking at the right.
And, yeah, so he's absolutely convinced, and then Jotaro rubs it in, saying it's just like your brother said, it's only cheating if you get caught. And yeah, do they even get round to doing the next pitch, or does he give up?
They do, he figures it's like a few more.
Yeah.
I think he gets like a home run.
Yeah,
Then
he lets go of Kakuin's soul, and then they say.
Yeah, he's trying to build himself. He's like, I can totally beat him. I just got to get a few more things. And then he gets a home run. He's like, fuck. I forgot he's really good at that part.
If I was Kakuin, I'd be like, can I keep this doll? Can I keep this as a souvenir?
Really?
As creepy as it is.
It'd be fine to have if your soul wasn't in it. You'd probably have bad memories of it, you know?
Yeah, and they basically turn the same thing that he said to Kakuin on, that your soul's given up. So they say,
yeah,
because you've let go of Kakuin's soul, your soul's already admitted defeat. And,
that means he's got no bargaining chips over him. They can just beat the shit out of him without any repercussions.
Darby clinging to his, I'm a genius, his prowess. I love his line. It says, an expert at video games is an expert at life. That's quite the opposite in the real world, my friend.
And then he sees, Purple Hermit trailing from the controller. And Joseph's like, oh,
oh, fiddlesticks.
Since we won, I kind of forgot.
And then Jotaro rubs it even more by telling him that his brother would have worked it out.
Oh man, are the Joestars, besides the first guy, like, are they the most cheatingest family? Oh, they're brilliant.
Yeah, so they had to actually talk to each other. Joseph had just figured it out for himself what Jotaro wanted him to do.
Lucky.
And then they give Terence a final question. Jotaro asks him, which hand am I going to punch you with?
That was beautiful.
And he goes, please punch me with the left hand. And he goes, no, 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 no. Okay, the right one. No, no, no. You're going to do that aura thing, aren't you?
Yes.
When he said, you're going to punch me with both fists, I figured he was going to, like, you know, just jam both of them forward at the same time.
Gum Gum Bazooka style.
I like the idea that all these other guys have been talking about this aura attack. So they're already aware of it before it shows up.
Well, wars come down the line, you know, from, you know, they just hear of the latest atrocities that's befallen, like, you know, Temperance or Steely Dan or whatever that down there. Oh my God,
it's probably Hull Horse, because Hull Horse, we know, has come back.
That's true,
actually. To the HQ.
Yeah.
Like, you guys, you do not want to get hit with this thing. It fucks you up.
It's lethal.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty great. And then we learned that last two episodes and half of this episode have only taken 10 minutes.
Freezer Saga style.
JoJo's time.
Oh, beautiful.
And we meet Vanilla Ice, who's in Dio's boudoir.
Oh, quick thing though. I was kind of confused as well. Besides the really cheap way they were cheating, they weren't in some other dimensional place. They're apparently like the big room.
Yeah, they
that
put
has
you
a beach
through,
built into it
through the ceiling.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yes, Dio says that he just needs one more victim, and then he'll be able to overcome Jonathan's body. And so Vanilla Rice offers himself up. Because also he's making a comparison about why Darby's failed, because he's not willing to give himself up in the same way that the Joe Styles are for Holly. So Vanilla Rice is like, okay, yeah, I'm willing to give myself up like they are. And so he summons his stand, which he uses to cut his own head off.
Pretty epic.
I was figuring Dio would have been like, you could have just like cut your wrist, dude. It would have been fine.
And he was very kind. He did it in such a way that he would fill up a big jar with his.
Oh yeah,
it was a good aim, I gotta say. Yeah, I mean, like a lot of it went on the floor because you know you can't really aim yourself once you're dead.
No. Dio was happy though. He's like, I said, you've removed your own head. This makes me very happy.
But no, he doesn't want Vanilla Rice's blood. He wants somebody else's blood. And so instead he gives Vanilla Rice his blood, turning him into a vampire.
So has this I guess we'll find out, but as I imagine that's empowered him even more.
Well, yeah.
He's a stand user.
As we've seen, it's pretty tough to kill Dio.
Yeah.
Okay. So even later, that's a vampire. Also, all being a stand user would be pretty deadly combination there.
And then his stand reappears, swallows him whole, and then proceeds to eat its own legs and arms.
That was fucking terrifying.
Yeah. Kind of funny, though.
It just jamming its own feet into its mouth, yeah.
How does it eat its own mouth?
it's like Pac-Man, you know, where it goes, whoa, 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 whoa.
Basically turning itself into a void of the title.
Yeah.
And then he exits by just cutting a hole through Dio's doors.
He's like, well, if you've got to open the door first, gosh.
Yeah, I did like it when he was like kind of knocking on the door, excuse me, Lord Dio, and Dio's just sitting on the bed reading a book. I was like, oh, he just must have had trouble getting to sleep.
He should have a blindfold. Although it's dark in there, I'm sure he'd be out like the night.
Then we're back with Iggy and his two best friends.
Oh.
They decide, 10 minutes has passed, as Vanilla Rice had stated earlier. And they decide they're not going to set fire, they're going to go in and rescue the guys. And if they survive, they'll have a big slap-up meal together.
Yeah, it's a great speech Avdol gives, basically. If you're fatally wounded, you're a goner, because I'm not going to help you. Because, you know,
yeah,
the
we
focus
need to kill
the mission. Which, yeah. It's a great speech. It's kind of weird, but it's a great speech and a great setup.
Also, the way you describe it, Brian, makes it sound like a friggin' episode of The Beano or something.
It is.
Cow pies. Cow pies all around.
They have that mound of potatoes with sausages sticking out that is in the end of every Beano thing.
Yeah. That's what I'm hoping. Iggy is now very, very, very tiny.
Well, I mean, like, those guys are huge. You gotta remember.
He has never been this tiny before. And they go inside and there's a huge labyrinth and Abdul says, well, we couldn't have set fire to this anyway, it's too big, we'd have ended up setting fire to ourselves, confusing ourselves. So he makes a fire probe, a power previously unrevealed, which is able to detect humans and stands, and they send that on ahead.
It's very complex, it's got like every axis covered.
Yeah, and basically it flares up in the direction that somebody is. And it flares up towards to their left, is it, or the right? I can't remember.
I think it's their left. Yeah.
A direction.
A direction, yes. And then Iggy starts to smell something, summons his stand, and attacks Kenny G, who is hiding in the wall.
Or Billie Jean, depending on.
Yeah. Yes.
I was laughing. I was creased.
In one hit, and he was apparently had a stand which was creating the illusion of this labyrinth. And then Avdol's got his hand on the wall where hiding, and he sees a note which says something along the lines of, when you finish reading this and turn around, you will, and then he's got his hands covering up the last word. Die!
It's so tense. It is so tense.
Yeah.
And he turns around. And dies.
Whoa, we don't know that. Well, we kind of do.
He's totally dead.
He's dead.
This isn't the case of it's like, whoa, he totally looked like he got killed as previously happened, but there could be an explanation for it. This one is like, no. Like, those are his arms on the floor, his severed arms.
Like, even if, like, the interior of Vanilla Ice was, you know, just some kind of prison thing. After all, still missing his goddamn arms.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a setback.
Yeah, so he's been swallowed by Vanilla Ice's stand. Do they say the name of the stand in this episode?
It's not named either here or maybe in the manga either, but I believe it's North Cream.
Okay.
It's not Egyptian God. This is where he started naming the stand after this every musical thing he felt like.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and then he then finishes up, picks the hands up and finishes up his meal. And inside the mouth, you can see Vanilla Rice talking.
Apparently, like a there's big like, suit.
Yes.
Yeah.
He explains that he's disintegrated. Avdol.
Yeah, it reminded me of that bit in, what's that manga, Goro Roro or something like that? Goro. It's like a lizard dude head and he has like a human face in the back of his throat.
Oh, Dorohedoro.
Dorohedoro, sorry, I had the wrong.
It reminded me of Cloak from Marvel Comics. Because he's got a darkness dimension which swallows people.
That's true, yeah. Okay.
And so this guy.
It's less terrifying though.
And also the other thing it reminds me of is the D&D magic item Sphere of Annihilation. Because he is a sphere of annihilation, basically, isn't he? He's this spherical object which, when you touch it, gets disintegrated, as we see from the door. And basically, Polnareff and Iggy, Iggy particularly, is like in absolute terror.
Yeah.
And Polnareff's getting really angry.
Badass, he's
best
Jesus,
mate has
yeah.
been killed.
Oh no.
I got Polnareff, he's shouting, Iggy! Put it together. Are you listening to me? Answer me, damn it. It's like, answer me, you dog.
Come on, Iggy. Tell me if you can smell him or not. One bark for yes, two barks for no.
We're laughing, but it's a very serious moment.
Yeah.
I'm still recovering.
Wow. Are you going to be okay, man?
I don't even know because I was so into this. I didn't even watch the preview for next week. I'm like, nah, not this time, guys. Not this time. Serious business.
And new voices in this episode, we had Sho Hayami as Vanilla Ice, who previously done the voice for the arcade game, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. And Devil Man in the OAV.
I've got him down as last time me and Anthony saw him, he was the Twilight Prince in Cutie Honey F.
Oh right.
Maximilian Genius in Macross, Wolfwood in Trigun, Aizen Sosuke in Bleach.
All right, quick question. Is Vanilla Ice wearing any pants?
It's hard to tell.
I wasn't looking.
The shot opens up on his butt. How could you not be looking?
I actually didn't notice. I was too busy thinking what he wearing.
I thought I did very, very tight pants.
Yeah, I mean, like, that could easily be the case.
I've seen, like, you know, images of him, maybe kind of models usually, you know, he just appears to be praying, like, he's wearing, like, clothes, like, from the waist up, but down below it's nothing but tidy whities.
I'm watching a gif of it, and I think he's not wearing any trousers.
Okay.
So he's just
mostly swallowed, so it's difficult to see.
It's definitely the same tone as his skin.
Yeah.
It gets hot in Egypt, you know, if you wouldn't wear pants either.
I don't know.
Plus, he might be difficult getting in and out of his stand's mouth if he had a pair of trousers on. They might get
They get caught in his teeth or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's practical. It's well thought out.
Yeah. We're kind of noticing this now as well, but like the stand users who were in Dio's like inner circle, who were assigned to the mansion girl, they all are rocking that like heart motif all over their clothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like this heart thing, you know.
I'm guessing, right? Dio actually wanted all his dudes to be like cards, like, you know, the King of Hearts, the Queen of Hearts, all that sort of
flush gang.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what he was going for, but the uniforms didn't come in till really late and everyone had already been killed. So I think it's like, oh, now they have the theme going, but there's only like fucking three or four guys left.
Like 52 stand users, like, and he beat a Joker or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been amazing, but, you know. I caught up in the post.
Yeah. Also, one of the problems of running out of tarot cards or cardway through even being able to score a whole 52.
Yeah.
one for each episode.
Well, maybe it's just because they love Dio. That's the way they
Dio also wears cards.
He loves himself.
Oh, he loves Jonathan. That's right.
He loves Jonathan and himself.
Lord Dio, be my Valentine.
So the opening part of the episode, I think, was really great. That was, it was really satisfying how simple they were cheating.
like he's cheating, whatever. Oh, my standing power allows me to do this like really complicated thing. I can just eat your soul like a thermal imaging device. Like, he says with night vision, but it's more like kind of a thermal imaging thing. You can see.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like, no, just misdirection, sleight of hand. It doesn't involve like stand abilities, you know, but still, it's a little more simple than what they were going for.
Yeah, kind of overthinking how he could possibly be cheating.
I should also say Kenny G's groan was supplied by Junichi Yanagita, who's also been store owner in episode 27, man B in episode 28, waiter in episode 33, worker A in episode 37, and man in episode 38. Oh, sorry, I forgot. Umpire in episode 41.
He was the robot
umpire, was he? Cool.
Yeah.
Does he do the voice for the teams?
No, it's Harry Yamamoto does the game audio. So the guy's going, "Oh, what a baseball!"
Yeah, he was doing the "You're out" kind of thing.
Car select, team select.
And if you look at his Anime News Network page, his credits are basically full of things like Man B, store owner. He's obviously the guy who
he's typecast, isn't he?
Comes in to do bit parts.
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You get too good at a certain role and then they keep putting you in it.
He could have been Jotaro, but he chose to be Man B.
I mean, like, at least he got to be a named character who got taken out straight away.
Yeah, so he got the groan.
That may have been recorded on accident as well. Like, he was leaving the voice booth.
That'd be amazing if that was a boss in it. So you just have to find out where he is and like just hit him once and he dies. If that was a boss in the video game, that would have been really fun. It's like, oh, watch out for this guy. He's the secret mansion. Oh, he just died. Okay.
But all I can do is really just make illusions and possibly make it like walk into a wall or something and you can't bump your nose. Like, the fiend. Actually, about that fire probe, you know, as you're saying, Brian, the power is only making its appearance now, could have proven extremely useful against the Hanged Man. Against Endual back in the Stardust season, you know.
Well, you gotta remember, like, when Abdal was fighting Hangman, he got, like, taken out fairly quick. Like, when they were looking for him, they were in the middle of a fight. So, it would have been useful then, but
he was a power where I'm trying to look for him. And if I'm Reese, there was I can counter his attack. Before I had some kind of power that would allow me to do that.
Maybe. The only time I could think of him using it would be on the ship. Like, then might have been, because they were looking for someone, you know, they were looking for anyone on the ship kind of thing.
He could have used it a lot.
My JoJo's No Prize by...
Okay.
He may have learned, sort of perfected it while he was waiting on the island.
Of course.
So he didn't have it in the first...
Were you trying to find his chickens and stuff?
Yeah, didn't gain enough experience points. I mean, like, gain any ability over the course of the journey, you know. You got just after beating Mariah and Bastet.
Or maybe learned in the 10 minutes that they were underground. That was a long 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
This episode. I know we talk about the show on a weekly basis, but it manages to deliver every week without fail, episode to episode. There's no shit. And it still surprises me.
It's really good.
Some people were kind of down on the whole Darby the Gamer type bit, but it's these are guys playing games for like with their souls on the line. So you're either with that or you're not. I don't understand. I know it may not be like as exciting as when they did it with Darby Senior, but I think it kind of alluded to that when they kind of keep making out. No, Darby, your older brother, you know, he had a bit more class to him. You know, you're kind of shit in comparison to Darby Jr. Point said, "Hey, F yours, I'm a video game genius."
I don't know. I kind of liked it as a bit because, like, ever since we came across, what was the hawk called again?
Pet Shop.
Ever since we came across Pet Shop, shit's been going down. So I kind of like one more fucking crazy bullshit thing happening. And then it's going to, like, be obviously right now it's deadly serious. Like, we're one character down. Well, one character and one dog paw down, I guess.
I'm so nervous. I wish I'd never seen any of this in the way that this show is the perfect show to marathon. Like, to just watch back to back. No, obviously not every episode, but you can watch chunks of this because the way it tells, like, it ends on a cliffhanger nearly every week.
That's exactly what you need.
But that's good, you know. It keeps
it's it's rare I let myself get into something that kind of leaves you hanging. But man, this shit is great.
Right, yeah, I think that finishes up this week's episode of Let's Go JoJo. Be back here next week for The Miasma of the Void, Vanilla Ice, Part 2. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcasts at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com and dynamiteinthebrain.com. Goodbye.
With a shame.
Bye-bye.
With the hump, fat girls, thin girls, some a little plump, slave girls sold here 50 bob a lump in the old bazaar in Cairo. Brandy, shandy, beer without a froth, graces, laces, a candle for the moth, bet you'd look a dolly in an old loincloth in the old bazaar in Cairo. You can buy most anything, thimbles, fat cows, a little bit of string. You can purchase anything you wish, a clock, a dish, and something for your Auntie Fanny. Harum, scarum, what do you think of that? Benny, striptease, dancing on the mat. Oompa, oompa. That's enough of that in the old bazaar in Cairo.